Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. 31 years. Wow, that's a long time. It's a lot of surgery, Steve Paulette. Did a lot yesterday. So much fun. So many young people that need to have their joints replaced. I used to just operate on your grandmother. Now I'm operating on you. And you're 38 and 42 and 45 years old. You want to know the reason so many people need me to do a joint replacement, replace their shoulder, their knee, their hip with titanium and plastic? Here's my theory. Two reasons. One, everyone thinks you can eat whatever you want and then just exercise the pounds away. Don't work that way. You get fat because of calories, period. You can eat a jelly donut, no problem, but then you better not eat anything else the rest of the day. And the other thing that just astounds me, and I blame the drug company, people, so many people, they have pain when they exercise. So what do? They still want to feel like they're getting younger. They still want to feel like they can eat whatever they want and exercise. But it hurts when they exercise. So they go to the gym after taking Advil, Motrin, Aleve. Are you kidding me? They're taking these pills so they don't hurt, so they can exercise more. When in fact, you're masking the pain and destroying your joints, so you're going to need me as a surgeon to take care of it afterwards. Does this make any sense? Gutting you. That's a Yiddish term for, I can't believe it. Wait till I tell you my food item, though, this week. Ah, did I have a sandwich? Let me just tell you. The sandwich is called a Supremo. It's already fantastic. My mouth is watering already. How could it be bad when it's called a Supremo? Homemade baked bread dough with red sauce, spicy pepperoni and mozzarella cheese inside the sandwich, and it's melted. It's like an inside-out pizza. Wait till I tell you where you can get this gift of the gods. A Supremo. Wow. I'm so excited for today. Number one, I get to see Steve Paulette. I've been working all week, seeing patients, operating. It's been great. But it's fun to see Steve Paulette every Saturday. Knowing he put together all the sound bites that I've asked him to do, puts the show together. We have a Facebook page thanks to him. But I got to tell you, 9 years I'm doing this show, I do have a favorite guest. And she's my guest today, Robin Trento. Because we're going to talk about my favorite artist, Michelangelo. There's an exhibit coming to the Getty Museum starting on Tuesday, about Michelangelo. 30 of his drawings are leaving Europe to come here. Don't miss seeing this exhibit. And we're going to talk to Robin Trento about the exhibit, but mostly we're going to talk about Michelangelo. And specifically, even though I sculpt in marble, and you can go to the website, you can go to Twitter, at Dr. Robert Clapper, and you'll see a picture painted by Michelangelo of God. Can you imagine? He has the audacity to know what God looks like and paints his portrait on the ceiling. He doesn't do it just once. He does it twice when God is touching Adam and creating the sun and the moon. The cojones this artist had to say this is what he looks like is fantastic. But why am I talking about Michelangelo? Yes, because he's coming to the Getty. But you know what the real ramification is for me? The Sistine Chapel, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel is his version of looking up at heaven and trying to figure out what we're doing down here. The very fact that you got to look up to look at the heavens is fascinating because this is complete fantasy. People flying around on the ceiling. Man can't fly. But Michelangelo has people flying around, and if they could fly, this is what they would look like. And it's appropriate because on Monday is going to be the memorial to Kobe Bryant, because he and his daughter and the other folks on that helicopter, if you believe it, and I do, they're in heaven. They're in heaven looking down. So I thought all week, where do we see in art, in sports, and in surgery, the concept of looking up and seeing heaven? This is a fascinating subject to me because it's total fantasy. But if you believe it in your heart that that's where you go after you die, then it's powerful. In my lifetime, Kobe dying at 41, and I still will never get over it. But previous to Kobe passing away was another basketball player who touched me deeply when he passed away at age 40, was Pete Maravich. Pete Maravich turned out had a congenital heart disease. He should never have lived past his teenage years and yet got to be to 40 and one of the greatest basketball players of all time. This is Magic Johnson talking about Pete Maravich.
Boy, could he play basketball and could he entertain you. You know, the no-look passes, the dribble the ball and then pat it with one hand. That's where I saw that from Pistol Pete. That's where I got it from.
Here's Red Auerbach, who won more rings than anybody else in basketball. I love his Brooklyn accent. Talking about Pete Maravich, the Kobe Bryant of his day.
Pete Maravich, the New Orleans Jazz, in my opinion, one of the great, great guards that ever played the game. So many things he's done from the time he was a little bitty one to make basketball not only his life, but a part of his hands. Now, you see that little drill he did there? That looks simple, but it has meaning. Everything he does has meaning.
Pete Maravich, this is his wife talking about him passing away. And on some levels, this going to heaven, this makes me feel better about Kobe's passing. Not that anything ever could.
I remember he used to tell me, he said, you know, when I die, you know, people will forget about me after a couple of weeks. And he's more alive today than he ever has been.
Isn't that amazing? Here's his sons. He had two boys. Last names are Maravich. Growing up where your dad was Kobe Bryant, your dad was Pete Maravich. Now they're grown men, and listen to them talk about their dad.
That's where the pain comes in, too, because we basically bury him every day. And that's, you know, some people get over it. When you have the last name Maravich, it's...
Yeah, though, I mean, you can either run from it, or I mean, we could either give up basketball and not even do it, but there's too much love and passion for the game to just, you know, it's almost like our identity, so it's not.
It is your identity, just like Kobe's remaining daughters and Vanessa, how they're going to have to deal with it. We saw this with Pete Maravich, and we're seeing it all over again with Kobe. The heavens, looking down, how Michelangelo depicted the heavens. Pete Maravich going to heaven and what he's left behind for us. It made me think in the art world, who can put this all into perspective for me? There was a physicist who died at age 62. I'm 62. Ugh. His name was Carl Sagan. And he really pissed off a lot of the astronomers and physicists because he did Clapper vision. He broke down complicated concepts on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. I mean, he was a physicist who made this all make sense. Well, in 1990, the Voyager spacecraft, billions and billions of miles away from us, in 1990, he pleaded with NASA, please, can you just take a picture of Earth from the Voyager spacecraft as it's going past Saturn so that we can see in perspective who we are? They fought with him. No, you're not taking a picture of the Earth. Back and forth. Finally, they relented. And they took a picture from as far away in the heavens of Earth as possible so that all you see in the photograph is a pale blue dot. You could barely see it. And Carl Sagan was so happy that that photo was taken. And I'm going to play for you now his speech, because this is from the heavens looking down on us. And it just puts it all into perspective. He's talking about what Michelangelo sees, where Kobe is right now, where Pete Maravich is right now, where we are right now.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives.
This is Pete Maravich and Kobe Bryant looking down on us.
The aggregate of our joy and suffering. Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager. Every hero and coward. Every creator and destroyer of civilization. Every king and peasant. Every young couple in love. Every mother and father. Hopeful child. Inventor and explorer. Every teacher of morals. Every corrupt politician. Every superstar.
Michelangelo painted all of these characters up on that ceiling.
Every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot.
When you stand in the vault of the Sistine Chapel and you do look up at the heavens and all the characters on the ceiling Michelangelo painted, don't forget, they're looking down at you. And that's what Carl Sagan's describing, us here on the pale blue dot.
Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings. How eager they are to kill one another. How fervent their hatreds.
It's a beautiful place, heaven. But when you look back down at us, no one can put it into better words than Carl Sagan.
Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark.
Kobe has left us, but we're still here to do the right thing.
In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world.
It's almost as if we have a responsibility to live each and every day to the fullest and to think of heaven in the ways that Carl Sagan thought of it, Kobe Bryant, Pete Maravich. It's the only home that we'll ever know.
To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
Heaven, that's what I want to talk about today. Clapper Vision will be about Kyrie Irving. What happens that makes his shoulder hurt so much that he's got to shut it down during the season and now be out and miss the rest of the season? What causes pain in his shoulder, to the rotator cuff, to the labrum? He's not dealing with bone-on-bone arthritis. He's an NBA basketball player still playing. So this is in the soft tissues. You want a great clap revision? I'm going to give you a great clap revision. When you pull up at that red light, what you don't realize is the weight of your car is on the asphalt. But those technicians have cut a hole out of the asphalt that your car is actually sitting on. And it has a sensor in it that tells the light that there's a car there. And you know that clock that starts to tick with the numbers? That's triggered because of the weight of your car. This happens to all of us. And you're all driving around now or listening to me. And you'll get in your car later. Yeah, when you get to the red light, you don't see it anymore because they covered it up. But your car's weight is on a sensor that triggers the light to change. It's a circuit. It's an electrical circuit. So when that bone spur comes off your acromion and distal clavicle and pushes downwards onto your rotator cuff and frays the tendon, that electrical circuit that causes the light to go from red to green is exactly what's happening in your shoulder. The light that changes is actually pain fibers because of that spur tearing up the surface of the tendon. Interrupts the beautiful circuit and signals to your brain trouble is taking place. Yes, the inflammation comes later. Yes, all the findings come later of swelling, but it's actually the spur digging into the tendon, the labrum ripping that disrupts the circuit that makes the light change from green, no pain, to red, that now you have pain. We'll do some more clap revision. Coming up next, the number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710-ESPN. Wow. Love this song. R.E.M., Man in the Moon, Andy Kaufman, better known as a Meshuggah, a major Meshuggah, but a funny guy. Man in the Moon. Love it. All right, the clinic's open. I'm going to do something now I haven't done in 9 years. Because of Twitter, at Dr. Robert Clapper, I'm going to actually connect with a weekend warrior and help them. I love this. Renee in Mid-City, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, how you doing, senor?
I'm doing great. This is a first for me, so this is going to be special. First of all, what do you do for a living, Renee?
Work customer service doing pretty much wholesale on tires.
Wholesale tires? Wow. Yeah. Are tires made from rubber, or are they purely synthetic?
No. Pure rubber with some chemicals in there to mix them up, you know, depending on the company, the environmental.
And does the rubber come from a tree?
Yes.
And where are those trees that the rubber comes from?
Those are a good question. I work in the tire industry and never really asked that one.
South America, Madagascar. Oh, yeah, God knows where the rubber trees are that makes all the rubber for all the tires that we're all riding around on. Renee, you need to find that out and call me back.
You got it.
I mean, to think about it, they're depending on a tree to grow and make maple syrup, and instead it's rubber that comes oozing out of the tree, and that's how you make a tire. That's crazy.
There you go. You're pretty knowledgeable. I love it.
Well, I try. And my favorite tire store is Delco Tires and David in Encino. So if you need tires, that's where I go. How can I help you, Renee? What's up?
No, I was just calling... Pretty much, I'm dealing with a degenerative disc and a C5, C6.
Do you have your MRI in front of you?
Not in front of me. I do have it on a disc. According to the report, it's about a 2 millimeter and a 3 millimeter bulge.
Okay. 2 and 3 millimeter bulges in the cervical spine at C5, 6, I'm going to tell you right now, is not gigantic. Okay? In my opinion, surgery for a 2 and 3 millimeter disc, not so fast. Know what I mean? I'm not a big fan of cortisone shots. I'm not a big fan of Medrol dose packs of oral cortisone. I try to be as holistic as I possibly can. Now, does that mean you never have spine surgery? No. Sometimes people have to have it. You can't pee. You got a foot drop. There's profound weakness that just does not go away. But I, like you, have degenerative discs in my neck. I have actually multiple levels of degenerative discs, and I've had bouts of weakness in my triceps, in my pec major muscle. But you know what has happened to me, Renee? I've stuck it out. I haven't had an epidural. I haven't had the oral dose packs. And I fell in love with a physical therapist who taught me how to strengthen my rhomboid muscles with TheraBands. And I've also been patient. Can everybody succeed like me? Maybe not. It's not an indictment. But you have to prove to yourself that you have failed conservative treatment before I would let anybody talk you into surgery. I don't like messing with it, though. I don't like the drug companies messing with the symptoms, because you and I don't know that if you put a needle in there and you mess with the body's ability to bleed, make scar tissue, and scuff things up, if you start putting needles and pills around it, then you lose the normal healing process that we all have. And again, is it wrong to do it? There's plenty of people, they make a living doing epidurals and giving you steroids. So I'm not indicting them. It's just, if you ask me my opinion, there's no way I'm letting you do that. So
now, if we do, just to give you like a little history, I've dealt with it for 10 years. Okay. I've had a couple of RFAs, which is a radio frequency ablation.
Yeah, you know what that means in plain English? You know what that clapper vision is for an RFA? So the weekend warriors understand what that is?
What is it?
It's like going to a barbecue. You ever go to a barbecue and you make s'mores where you put the marshmallow on the stick and you stick it into the fire? And now your little grandson or your nephew says, hey, can you show me how to do it? And they don't recognize that you've got to heat and turn the marshmallow. This is a great clapper vision. I've never used this one before. Well, you got to turn the marshmallow gently so that you toast each side of the marshmallow. But you know what happens, Renee, when you have the little one there who says, I want to do it too, and they just stick the stick with the marshmallow into the fire, and they don't know how to subtly turn the marshmallow to toast each side. You know what happens? The marshmallow turns black. It goes on fire, and it persists, and they actually cook the stick, and the whole damn marshmallow and the tip of the stick burns and falls into the fire. That's what an ablation is to the nerve. The nerve is cooked. The marshmallow is inedible. You know what I mean? You kill the nerve with radio frequency. Instead of a bonfire with the Cub Scouts, you now have cooked it and it ain't coming back again. So the idea is, hey, the nerve gives you pain. Why don't we cook the nerve? Genius. I don't know why anybody didn't come up with this idea before. Are you kidding me? I don't like that whole approach. People do it. This is their opinion. They're entitled. But you know what? In 31 years, I've never told any patient of mine, go get your nerve cooked. I'm not interested in that. So gig is into hake. You can do it, Renee. I don't like it. I like being holistic.
So pretty much, just, like you mentioned, you know, I'm 45.
You need to go. Where do you live?
I live in Mid-City, L.A.
Get in your car. Call them up first. Make your way to Pasadena to Warrior, and it's a complete coincidence, Warrior Physical Therapy. Go see Martin. He's amazing. He'll teach you how to strengthen muscles that will unload not the nerve root in your spine where the trouble is on your MRI, but there's also trouble at the other end of the nerve where it embeds in the muscle. But if you can strengthen the muscles that counteract that, then you basically reduce the pull and the tug on the root of the nerve, and that's what I did. And guess what? I feel fantastic now. And I didn't have steroids, I didn't have an ablation, and I didn't have surgery. So So you need to make this a lifestyle change. And I would also do this, Renee. Join the Equinox, the 24-hour fitness. Find an indoor heated pool. Going forward, get in the water. It's the greatest thing you can do for a spine. It unloads the weight-bearing joint, it unloads the discs, and yet it strengthens the muscles that surround it. If you take up swimming, you will actually help it. But go do some land-based physical therapy exercises as well. You'll make one visit. You don't have to keep going. You learn what to do. Then you incorporate it into your lifestyle. To me, be holistic. You can do all kinds of shots and ablations. People do them all the time. If you ask me what my opinion is, be holistic. Capiche?
Capiche.
Renee, I want to thank you. And I just helped you. You need to now today find a total stranger in Nate. Do something nice for a total stranger. That's how you'll be thanking me. That's how I'm doing by you. Capiche?
Will do.
All right,
capiche.
Young man. Thanks so much for calling. All right, keep going. Take a break. All right, we'll pay some bills. Hang on the line. All the lines are lit up. I love it. You guys are up at 7 o'clock in the morning to be here with me. My heart is touched. Corazon Espinado? No. Corazon Muy Bien. That's what my heart is, because you're all on the lines and listening. Thanks so much for doing that. You can follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Robert Clapper. You can check out the Facebook page that Steve Paulette put together. But most of all, thank you for telling your friends, and thank you for listening all these years. I get up every Saturday morning looking forward to being right there in that tiny little box in your car talking to you. You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN. To the moon. To the moon! It's in the heavens! That's what today's show is all about. The Kobe Memorial. We miss him dearly. I went to the game last night. It's so hard for me to go to Staples Center. But LeBron James is just phenomenal. It's great to see Caruso and Anthony Davis and the rest of the team. God, Dwight Howard. But it's LeBron James and how he inspires his teammates. He's Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan rolled into one. Such a blessing to have LeBron James be in Los Angeles. I almost feel like he left Cleveland to go to Miami to win a ring. And he did with Dwayne Wade. Then he went back home to win a ring nationally. He's now here in LA to win a ring globally. And he's going to win a ring for us this season. I don't care what the Clippers do. And I'm sad that Boogie Cousins isn't going to be here with us. But maybe he can come back for the playoffs. I don't know. But all of these folks are the role players. They're the Matthew Dellavedovas in his life. It's LeBron James. A superstar's the wrong word. He's a figure like Kobe was, like Pete Maravich. He's truly one of the greats. And he shares the ball. He's not trying to be the star. He comes to work with a lunchbox and someone packed his lunch for him. That's how he plays. It's a real privilege to be able to watch. Don't miss a Laker game this season. I don't know what's going to happen next year. Maybe Giannis will come to L.A. Wouldn't that be amazing? Rob Pelinka. But just to be able to watch someone doing what they love at the highest level, working as hard as they possibly can, it's a thing of beauty to watch him play basketball. All right, let's take some calls. I don't want to give the number out because all the lines are lit up. I love it. And at 8:15, what a day I'm going to have here. My favorite guest, Robin Trento, calling in. And we're going to talk about my favorite artist, Michelangelo. But let's take some calls. We'll do some Clapper Vision. Let's go to Jeffrey in Hollywood. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Clapper, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's like one of the best Saturdays ever in my life right now because I'm going to talk about Michelangelo with Robin Trento, and I'm talking to you, Jeffrey, in Hollywood.
I appreciate it. I called you about 5 months ago pre-surgery for a rotator cuff. It was a severed supraspinatus with retraction. I want to put a plug in to Dr. Jonathan Nassos. He's amazing. He's been a blessing in my life. I found him myself.
Good.
How do you feel about, as far as the physical therapy, about accelerating the healing process with PRP? You're anti that too, or?
It's not there yet. I mean, it's not my opinion that counts. None of this is really my opinion. It's that, you know, you do evidence-based medicine. You do papers. You do studies. You go to the Mayo Clinic where they look at 5,000 people and they look under the microscope. Did it have an effect? The person that I look for guidance is in New York at the Hospital for Special Surgery, and his name is Scott Rodio. He's one of the doctors for the New York Giants, but he's a brilliant researcher. And he's the guy that Special Surgery has put in charge of, tell us, What is up with stem cells? What is up with PRP? Does this stuff really work? And right now, the studies that they've done where you've injected PRP into rotator cuffs has not shown that it makes a difference. Will it? Do they have to put a membrane? Do they have to do some other kind of augmentation? You know, delete the white cells? I don't know. I don't know enough about that. But trust me, when it happens, then all of us, it won't be like, hey, I got to go to the Dominican Republic because over there, they're able to do, you know, things don't need to be a secret. And it doesn't have to be, I'm the only one in Los Angeles that does this, this, and this. No, all of us have penicillin. It's not like you have to go to some doctor. They're the only one that has penicillin. So, you know what? Use your common sense. What do you do for a living, Jeffrey?
Well, at the time of the injury, I was...
I don't mean to talk. What do you do for a living? What are you trained to do?
Oh, entertainment.
You're an actor.
Yeah, well, actually booking.
Booking. Okay.
Yes.
The reality is you're 59 years old. You've lived a life. You know what it's like when people try to sell you something that's nonsense. There's no shampoo growing hair on top of my head. The dentist still has to pull your tooth. Can't you say to the dentist, hey, why can't you just inject some stem cells and PRP into my gum and I'll grow a new tooth? Why do you have to pull my tooth? Because you can't.
Gotcha.
You can't. I mean, use your common sense. Do people do it? Sure. Is it the worst thing in the world? It's better than going to the drug companies, that's for sure. But I'm not so sure that you're going to write a check for $5,000 and it's going to do what they say it's going to do. In 2020, in February of 2020, I need Scott Rodeo to say, it's time, we figured it out. And that has not happened yet.
Okay, so physical rehab I've been doing, and just stick with that. Try to be as holistic as possible, I'm guessing.
Yes, and here's the deal. Takes a year. Takes 9 months to have a baby. Why does it take why does it take 9 months to make a baby? You know why? Because God did not ask Dr. Clapper how long it should take. Because if you asked Mrs. Clapper, she'll go, can I just be pregnant for 3 months and have the baby? No, you got to do 9 months. So how long does it take after you have your shoulder fixed? A massive rotator cuff with retraction. You know what? Yeah. A year. What?
A year.
Why does it have to be a year? Because I didn't make the rules. Kyrie Irving's going to have shoulder surgery. Can't he come back in a couple of weeks and be there for the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs? No, you can't, because there is anatomy that you have to deal with. You have to heal. Okay. You have to make scar. You got to get your range of motion back. You got to get your strength back. And then you want to do things as a basketball player on the court? Trust me.
Yes, I play.
He ain't playing this season. He's having shoulder. He's out. And then when he comes back with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the Brooklyn Nets, this is why the Lakers have to win the championship this year. Because next year, forget about it. Does that help, Jeffrey?
It does immensely. I will stick with my regimen.
That's right.
PRP will be down the line. We'll just do it the right way.
Do it the right way.
Helpful.
All right, young man.
And I'm making my way back, so I want to thank you.
You're very welcome, and I just thanked you, a total stranger. You now go find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I do it every day. Thank you, sir. Right. You're the reason I get up early on Saturday, by the way.
I really appreciate that, Jeffrey. Thank you for saying that. All right, let's take
it. God bless you.
Thank you. He has. And here we are with Steve Paulette. I'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. And coming up next, don't you want to know where the greatest sandwich I ever had in my life, called the Supremo, comes from? It's like an inside-out slice of pepperoni pizza. These guys figured it out. I'm going to tell you where that sandwich is. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show on 710 ESPN. Nora Jones, Blue Heaven. That's Ravi Shankar's daughter. Ravi Shankar and George Harrison did that concert for Bangladesh, the first fundraising concert ever, started it all. You know what it's like when you do laundry? Being a Jewish guy from New York, it's not in my vocabulary to do laundry. But when you do, when I have done it, when I was in college and medical school, I'd always lose a sock. Two socks went in the dryer and only one sock came out. I don't know what happens with that dryer. It runs on electricity and it eats socks. Last Sunday, freezing cold water. I go into my stuff, put my wetsuit on, put my booties on, because that water is cold. Freezing. There's an A in the word freezing. It's called freezing. Like Far Rockaway. Man, I was freezing. So I go in my bag, and what do I find? because I, you know, I got thin skin. I'm 62 years old, and it's freezing water. I wear rubber 3-2 O'Neill gloves. It's like a sock. I could only find one glove. How the hell am I going to go surfing with just one glove? I had no choice. I figured, well, at least one hand will be warm. I'm paddling out. I felt like Michael Jackson in the ocean there last Sunday. Yeah, and loving it. And everybody comes up to me. Hey, Doc, how are you? Good. And I wave hello. And they go, how come you only got one glove on? As if this is the new style in surfing. This is like the day I went to New Orleans to give a lecture about one of the tools I invented, the patents. All these surgeons in New Orleans were ready for me. But I'd worked the whole day before. I flew the red eye. I was exhausted, freezing in New Orleans. I don't know if I ever told the story. I get up early in the morning. I got like 2 hours of sleep, so I was like ridiculously tired. And it was a hotel room. The heat wasn't great. So to get to feel warmer, I took the hot shower, put the hot water on. The whole bathroom steamed up. But I hadn't shaved in 2 days because I was in the operating room the day before. Now is another day. I'm in New Orleans. I've got like a beard for 3 days and I need to shave. I'm giving a lecture. These people are all downstairs in the conference area waiting for me to give this talk. But I was tired and I put on the shower and the hot water. So all the mirrors in the bathroom were fogged. So I couldn't really see and I was exhausted. But I got to shave and I got to go down there. So what did I do? I put the shaving cream all over my face and I shave. I'm tired. I'm thinking of the lecture I got to give. I shaved completely except one half of my mustache. I don't have a mustache, but I do after 3 days of not shaving. I have a But I was tired and I couldn't see in the mirror, so I assumed I got the other half of the mustache shaved. Do you know what? I mean, in the history of Adolf Hitler and everybody and Tom Selleck, all the famous mustaches out there, nobody's ever had just half the mustache. I did. So I got my suit on with the tie, the whole bit. I wiped myself off. I can't look in the mirror because it's all foggy. I go down to give the lecture in front of like 200 orthopedic surgeons going, wow, the big guy from Los Angeles is here. He invented all this stuff. Dr. Clapper's here shaking my hand. They all think it's a new style to have half a mustache. That's what we do in Los Angeles. I went back up to the room after I gave the talk. I looked in the mirror and go, oh, my God. I've been walking around and not one person said anything to me. I had half a mustache. Oh, that's crazy. I should be telling you where that sandwich is, right? But I'm not going to do it, not till the end of the next hour. So you're going to have to stay tuned. But don't miss Robin Trento. 8:15, she's going to call in. Can I take one call? I'll take one call. All right, let's do that. Let's see. Tim in Fullerton, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapper, how are you?
What do you think about that, having half a mustache?
Half a mustache?
Did you hear the story I just told? What's the matter with you,
Tim? You know what? I go to get bagels every Saturday and listen to you on the way, and I was in the store. I left this phone in the car. You said Tim in Fullerton. I'm so thankful that I was back to get it.
Can I give you some advice from my father? May he rest in peace. He's in heaven with Kobe Bryant right now.
Yes, sir.
You know what the best thing to do with a bagel? My dad used to do this. By the way, the cardiologist will be on next to, you know, put a stent in your heart. But my dad used to put butter on the bagel and then put cream cheese.
That's exactly what I do.
You do that? Okay, good. Tim, how young are you?
57.
Yeah. You may not make it to 60 if you keep this up.
my wife gets after me for doing it that way, but it's the best.
It's the best. The Abraham Clapper version of how to eat a bagel. What's your favorite bagel? Sesame, poppy, onion, everything. Don't tell me pumpernickel or whole wheat.
No, actually, it's sourdough. To be honest,
there's no such thing as a sourdough bagel. That's a complete invention in California. Oy vey.
There you go. Oh my God, I love it.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a flooring contractor.
Really?
Yeah.
You are the greatest Clapper vision I give people when they ask me why do they need their knee replaced, and I tell them because it's not the linoleum anymore. You got termites in the floorboards. So
there you go.
Thank you for giving me a good Clapper vision. How can I help you? What's up with you?
Well, my son is 24, and when he was 17, he tore his ACL in his knee, and then they used a cadaver ligament to replace that.
I hate that, but go ahead.
He tore that one.
Of course. That's why I hate them, because they have a higher failure rate.
He tore, then they put another one. He tore that. Then they used his, then we switched doctors, and they used, pulled from his hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
And he did great.
Yeah.
He did great until last year. He's a surveyor, and his knee started getting really loose. So he went in to get it checked out. He had an MRI, and he had stretched out. And then when they went in for surgery, found out he had tore that ACL. So they took from his patellar tendon.
Thank you. And, finally.
Yep. And this was last August. So he was healing from that surgery. 2 months in, he heard a big pop in his leg. He was getting up onto his bed and heard a pop. So they feared that it had torn the revision, the patellar. So they went in, and so this was like his fifth surgery now on his knee. And they did a cerclage wire, and they put some stitches in the tendon. So since that surgery and since that pop, he cannot lift his leg on his own. He with the muscle, he's got to, with his hands, lift his leg up. So now they did an MRI to check all of it out. They did nerve tests to see if it was, you know, problems with his muscles. And or if it was been atrophy, because this has been all the way since August. And the bottom line is, he still can't lift his leg. He can barely move his ankle around. And we're just concerned that there's either that patellar tendon is torn below.
It is. That's what it is.
That's my thought.
That's exactly what happened to this guy. Oh, yeah. Yvay. All right. Well, you're going to need to fix the patella tendon, but I don't think you should fix the patella tendon and then go and rebuild his ACL. The priority is now to fix his patella tendon. And if it's acute, you can get away with not needing a graft. You can just sew the ends together, and that's what he's going to need to have done. You're going to need to find someone who's really, you know, who's a good guy for you to go to. Go to Santa Monica. Go see Bert Mandelbaum.
Okay.
Tell him I sent you. That's a okay. good guy to see. You're going to need to have this fixed. And you once he gets the patella tendon taken care of, he then is probably going to need to be like Robert Griffin III, where you've already used your patella tendon on that knee. You know what they did in Robert Griffin? They actually went to his perfectly good knee, the other knee, and harvested his patella tendon graft from the other knee and used it in the revision. So, but not now. I wouldn't do that now. You need to fix his patella tendon and go see Bert Mandelbaum, and then let me know what happens.
Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
All right, God bless you, Tim. Appreciate the call, and I love talking about bagels, and I want you to do me a favor. Find a total stranger in your life now. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
My pleasure. Okay, great. All right. Take a break. Come back. We'll tell some stories. Stories about heaven, where my mom and dad are, where Kobe Bryant is, where Pete Maravich is, what Michelangelo painted on the Sistine Chapel, and what Carl Sagan talks about, that pale blue dot from the Voyager, 3 billion miles away, they took a picture of Earth. Wow. That's what we're going to talk about coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.